Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 reads this way. It says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together and opening up your word. And Lord, calling upon you to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, that you would teach us and give us your revealed truth, Lord, as we look to you for guidance, wisdom, and understanding to draw closer to you and to walk in your grace and to abide in you and you in us, that you might truly fulfill your will in and through our lives, and that we will be completely yielded to you. Again, Lord, for your honor and glory and our blessing, and that we would see souls saved. We do thank you, Lord, for the visitors, returning visitors, Lord, that you sent our way. We just pray, Lord, that you would use us as we go throughout this week for your honor and glory. So again, instruct us tonight that we will walk in your ways, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply God's Promise for Success. Amen. God's Promise for Success. That's just the way it works. God makes a promise, and if we follow the promise, we'll have success. And God says, if you follow me, I'll show you the way. And so God wants us to look to him for wisdom and understanding. And again, not to lean to our own understanding, but to look to him. And he's promised to show us how things work, spiritually speaking. So as we look to this here, we'll find three thoughts tonight that we'll look at. And that is the importance of doing and keeping the commandments of God. That's the first truth. And then secondly, we'll look at a heart and love for God. And then the last thought will be personal instructions for our lives and concerns for the next generation. So really, God has laid it all out for us. He says, this is the way that I can bless your life, and this is the way that I can bless the next generation. That's really what it's all about, not just our lives, but also the lives of the next generation. So God really wants an inheritance of godly people, does he not? And he's beginning with us in our own personal lives, but he wants us to be an influence on the next generation as well. So if we have that, we have all that we can ask for, really. If we have a healthy relationship with the Lord, and we can point the next generation, beginning with our own children, to the Lord to have a faithful walk with him, then we will be fulfilled in life. Amen. We can see, listen, what good is having the things of this world and not walking with the Lord, or losing the next generation won't walk with the Lord? God, and by the way, there is nothing that you and I can do personally to influence the next generation for Christ unless it's God working in and through us. That's the only way that it can be done. So tonight, as we consider that, God shows us here how this works. And it begins by keeping the command, doing the commandments, right? And then keeping them. Well, what does it mean to keep them? Well, when we keep something, we preserve it, don't we, right? And in preserving that, what we're doing is we're handing it down to the next generation. So we're keeping the commandments of God, and then we're also handing down the commandments of God to the next generation, that they also might know the God that has blessed us and saved us and given to us eternal life. So notice he says here in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you," right? So if we're learning something, that means that we're making progress. If we're not learning something, then that means we're not making progress. God wants us to make progress in our relationship with him. And so the more we become like him, the more progress we are making, the more yielded. And by the way, listen, this is not anything that we can do in and of ourselves. This is what God is wanting to do in and through us as we yield to him and as we put our faith and trust in him. We none have the strength to keep the commandments of God, but with the Lord, we can do anything, right? Especially what he's called us to do. And so we have to be dependent upon him. We have to be looking and calling upon him to fulfill that. This is not just a once in a while thing. This has to be a daily thing, Lord. It's important, Lord, because I am prone to wander, as the song says, right? I can have the utmost desire the sincerity and still not walk humbly before the Lord. I mean, we've seen that in many of the disciples' lives. We've seen that down through even the man of God that had a heart for God, David, a man after God's own heart. Listen, I'm sure that he didn't want to betray the Lord. I believe he loved the Lord, and yet he betrayed the Lord more than once, right? It wasn't just with Bathsheba, but when he ran into the enemy's camp because he thought Saul was going to kill him, was he trusting the anointing that Samuel gave him, saying, you're going to be the next king. You're not going to be a king down the road. You're the next king. You're the anointed to be the next king. Now listen, I understand the pressures and things of that nature. And he began to lean to his own thinking and his own understanding. And he thought, if I don't run, Saul's going to kill me. Because Saul was hot after him. And that was the case. And I'm not trying to find fault with David. But I'm sure he said, listen, when he came to it all, he said, look, God is so faithful. I didn't have to run. I didn't have to be concerned about those things, because who is it that holds us in his hands? The Lord holds us in his hands. So do we have to have anything to fear? Let me try that again. Do we have anything to fear if we're in the hands of God? Isn't that good? Aren't you encouraged by that? You know, I don't have to be moved, right? I shall not be moved. Why? Because we are in the hands of God. And by the way, does God know that we're not perfect? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that God knows that and says, you will always be in my hand. I will never be finished with you, and then I will bring you home. So keep this idea in mind. He says, I want you to know that I have these commandments that I want you to do in the land, whether you go to possess it. By the way, spiritually speaking, we've been brought into the promised land and the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants us to take possession of those things, spiritually speaking. Verse 2 says this, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. This is what's involved now. If we do and keep the commandments of God, that fear will begin to grow in our hearts. The right kind of reverence, the right kind of respect for the Lord our God. And notice what that fear does. Again, in verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. To what extent? To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Listen to this. Thou and thy son, and thy son's son, sometimes during the year. No, it says, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Did you see that? He said, to our children and to our children's children. Isn't that good? Now, if our children will keep that commandment, right, and that promise, then their children and their children's children. And if our children's children will keep that commandment, then their children and their children's children will have the same promise. You see how that works? If we will keep those commandments and we'll trust the Lord in those things, he says, you know, your generations will know, they'll be part of the godly lineage. They'll know the truth. They'll be set free from the shackles of this world and Satan himself. They'll be brought into the family of God, and they'll be able to teach their children and all the way down through their generations the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this here, we find that the Lord says that our days would be prolonged. And what kind of days is he talking about? Just a mere existence? Or does he want us to have the joy of the Lord? Amen? He doesn't want us just to have an existence. He wants us to be excited. Would you say Paul was an excited individual? Yes. How about Daniel? Would you say he was excited about his God? Yes. He had the joy of the Lord. Did Daniel fear? Did he walk in fear? Or did he walk in confidence? Yes. Right? Even when they plotted against him, when they were getting ready to throw him into the lion's den, he had no fear. When he heard what they were going to do, what did he do? He went and he prayed, just like he did at other times. He opened up the windows. He knew they were watching. He knew what the end result was. But did he trust that the Lord held him in his hand? And God was able to do whatever he wanted to do with him. That's a wonderful confidence that God wants his people to have. By the way, that wasn't just for the Apostle Paul. That wasn't just for Daniel. That was for all of us, right? We have been saved by the grace of God, and God wants us to experience his grace. Is God a respecter of persons? Does he love some more than others that are in his family? Or does he love us all alike? Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that a blessing to know? And by the way, God wants his promises in the lives of all of his children. So because of that, in verse 3, he says this, "Hear therefore, O Israel, because you're going to be blessed, your children are going to be blessed, and your children's children are going to be blessed." He says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." And listen, it's a simple recipe. The Lord has called us to do it, and by the grace of God, we will do it. So just believe the Lord and walk in his ways. So don't go like this, "Oh boy, I hope I can do it today." Well, if you're saying, "I hope so," then maybe you're looking to the wrong person. Because if we're looking to the Lord, he says, "I will bring it to pass." Right? God will bring his will to pass. Is it the will of God that we walk in his commandments? It's his will. So if we will take that truth, "Lord, it's your will, I'm trusting you today that you will hold me up to walk in your ways," and watch what the Lord will do, because he wants to bless us. So he says here, "Therefore, O Israel," verse 3, "and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Did you hear that? That ye may increase partially, just a little bit, or mightily. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to increase in his word and in his way mightily. Right? And that distinguishes us. We're not just these Christians living in mediocrity. We are living and rejoicing in the grace and the salvation of our God, that God says, "I want to shine a light through you that the world might see you have something worth having." Amen? And so he was excited about that for them. And so verse 4, we find here a heart and a love for God. So he says, "Hear, O Israel." He's saying, now get this, he's promising them blessings, is he not? He's saying, if you will follow to keep these commandments and these statutes that I've given to you, I'm going to increase you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your children after you. And then he says this in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And we would say, amen. There's only one Lord. That's it. All the others, anything else is a false god. By the way, was Israel getting ready to face false gods? Were they going to encounter that? Absolutely. Do you and I face false gods? Every day we see them all around. Listen, and Satan is more craftier than ever in our lifetime. I mean, Satan is using all different kinds of things. I'm not against technology, but be careful about technology, amen? There's a lot of technology can keep us from the Bible, amen? Technology can keep us from our prayer life. We can get carried away in things that are not bad, not things that are not evil necessarily, but things that will keep us from calling upon the Lord and reading his word. That's important. Listen, we ought to make that priority over everything, that we have time alone with the Lord in his word, because that confirms and reaffirms his commandments to us. Oh yes, I read it this morning. This is exactly what God wants me to do. I want to walk in the way of the Lord. Why? Because we are being inundated and bombarded left and right by all kinds of bad information, are we not? Listen, you can be watching something as innocent as you please, and you can see something that is an abomination in our day and age. Never as a kid growing up would I've ever dreamed that we would see anything like we see on commercials, of all things. On commercials, things that God says are an abomination. Now, we don't hold anything against those people personally in the sense of this regard, because God wants them to be saved as well. We don't get angry at them, but we do should be angry at sin. Why? Because it is destructive. It destroys the people's lives that are being encouraged to do these things, and it can also destroy our lives, because listen, there are Christians, believe it or not, you may find this hard to believe, there are Christians that held a certain testimony for a certain length of time that are now saying, "Well, I don't know about that anymore. I wonder, maybe we can excuse certain things. Oh no, listen, if God says it's sin, it's still sin and will forever be sin. And God doesn't want us to compromise. And sometimes it's because we know somebody that's involved in it, but that does not excuse it. In all Christian love, in all sincerity, we need to tell them, listen, that is destructive. It's against the Lord. God sets the rules for what's right and wrong. God is the one that sets up morality. You and I don't set that up. Government doesn't set up what's right and wrong. That's why our nation is such a unique nation, because we have confessed and the founding of our country that you and I have been given certain inalienable rights by God, our Creator. Amen. And we can look at that as being unalienable rights. You know what a lien is? That is a legal. How would you say, like, if somebody doesn't pay you and you've rendered services, you could put a lien on their property until they pay you, right? For whatever they owe you, they can't do anything with that property until they square up with you. In other words, they have an obligation before they can utilize their property. God says you and I have been given unalienable or unalienable rights that can't there cannot be a lien placed upon them, not by government, not by any ideas of mankind. They have been given and bestowed by God Himself. We ought to walk in those things. Government has no right to that, and we truly appreciate that, but it does us no good if we're not walking according to the promises and the direction that God has given to us. We are failing the Lord if we're not willing to walk that way. So He says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love," verse 5, "thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Why? Because of the freedom and the liberties and the love that He has given to all of His children. That's a wonderful blessing. And He says, I want you to teach that. Boy, if there's any greater lesson, and there is none, God has blessed the child of God to give the truth, amen, to the next generation. They're teaching things today that are an abomination to the next generation. And my wife said, boy, if we had children in this day and age, I would rather have my children be dumb than to be educated. Amen. And what she means by that, they don't need to know some of the things that they're teaching today that are destructive, that are against the Lord. And we do have that right. We just might have to put our foot down, and we might have to pay a price, but we ought to be that adamant to protect the next generation, should we not? Listen, we don't stand a chance if we let the world teach our children things that are incorrect, things that are wrong. We need to be engaged and involved. And you know, we have a unique situation at more than at any other time in my lifetime. Do you know, I have heard the gospel message on news channels more in this current day and age than ever before. Have you heard that? I mean, there are people that are talking about salvation and all because of a persecution for religious freedom that took place. The door has opened up and people are hearing the gospel being preached. And boy, we ought to seize on that and keep the momentum going. We shouldn't say, oh, you know, I'm so glad, but I'm not going to pray for any more of that. Oh, listen, that was so good, but you know, it'll probably be short-lived. Yeah, with an outlook like that, it will be short-lived. But Lord, fan the flames, amen? Listen, a door has been opened. Let's call upon the Lord to open it even to a... Lord, increase our coasts, amen? Lord, let us stand up for the truth. Let us both... But this requires a relationship, and it requires a heart for the things of God. And this is what the Lord is saying right here. He says, "Hear, O Israel, hear, O my people, the Lord our God is one Lord." And notice, "and thou shalt love the Lord thy God." When you love somebody, you care about what they care about. Isn't that the truth? And God wants us to care about what he cares about. So He says, "and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Wow, that's an important truth. Lord, give me a heart to love you like that. Amen. That I might seek you and your love for me, and that I might have the right kind of love for you. Last thought here, and this is our personal instructions here for our lives and also concerns for the next generation. So look at verse 6 here. "And these words," these commandments, these statutes that the Lord has given, "and these words which I command thee this day shall be" where? in thine heart. God wants us to have a heart for his word, for his commandments. And thou shalt teach them diligently. See, if it's in our heart, right? You've heard it said before, boy, listen, they're not that big, but these little league football teams or these little league, but they got a lot of heart. Amen? You want to see people that have a lot of heart as opposed to those that don't really care. Because if you have a lot of heart, you give it your all. That's what they're saying, right? May you and I have a lot of heart for the Word of God in our lives. May we make concessions. May we make highways and byways in every area of our life to say, Lord, I want to be faithful in all your ways. Amen. I want to walk in all of your ways that you might have free reign in my life to direct me as you see fit, that I might keep my mouth quiet when I need to keep my mouth quiet, and that I might speak up when I need to speak up, right? It's important to stand up for the truth. Sometimes people get carried away, and there are some people who get more emotional over things that are passing away, and the things of God are not important. I mean, there are people that get all excited about sports or politics, but when it comes to standing for the Word of God, where are they? Amen? They get all excited, but when it comes to the Word of God, you know, they can act like, as somebody once said, they can act like a Comanche at a baseball or football game. Woo! And then like a wooden Indian in church. Nothing. No emotion. Nothing at all. They get all excited, you know, for the things that are temporal, but when it comes to the Word of God, what happened? What happened? Oh God, do a work in my heart that I might be excited about your word and the things that you have for us. So he says this, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them haphazardly, casually, when you get the chance in verse 7, right? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I dare say he's saying talk about it all the day long. Isn't he?
Yes.
And he says diligently. Listen, when somebody's doing a job, and when you're doing a job, if you do it diligently, you're going to get it done.
Amen.
Right? If you're not diligent about it, something that could be done in an hour might take days. And it shouldn't take days. And if you and I walk with the Lord diligently, we will be able to walk in his way. Or if we're not diligent, we'll say, well, you know, I failed her again. And I failed her again the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and I'll probably fail her again. Because we're not diligent. Diligent in this regard, Lord, I'm looking and calling upon you throughout the day that you will make the difference in my life, that I might be yielded to you, walking according to your commandments and your statutes. That I would not, listen, that I don't have just my favorite commandments, but that I have all your commandments, that I will keep all of them, that I will walk in all of them, because that's what, God didn't say, now you pick and choose the ones you want to walk in and forget about the other ones. We would call that hypocrisy, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Well, they keep these, you know. They're convenient. Doesn't really cost them anything. And sometimes people are good at keeping commandments for other people. You know what that means, don't you? They're in somebody else's business. This is what you ought to be doing. This is how you ought to be living. Well, how are we living? That's the real question. Are we faithful to all of the commandments before the Lord? Because here's the truth. You and I will not give an account to the Lord for anybody else but one little person. And that's ourselves. That's ourselves. And so the Lord says, listen, I have equipped you as a child of God with everything that you will need to follow after me. We have been equipped. So the question is, do we believe that? Or are we looking to ourselves and not the Lord? And by the way, when we look to ourselves, we become judges of things instead of servants. And God wants us to be servants. Lord, who am I? Really, isn't that the question? Who am I that you have given me your grace? I am nobody. This whole idea was not my idea. Was it yours? This whole idea of salvation, eternal life, the glory of God? Whose idea was that? The Lord's idea, right? And he says, follow after me. I have set up my will already. I don't need your help. In fact, the truth is, you need mine. That's what God says. You need my help. And if we'll call upon the Lord for his help, then you know what? Our lives will be blessed. the lives of our children and the lives of our grandchildren and so forth will be blessed as well. So verse 7 again, he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know what that means? It is readily available. It is at hand, right? When you say, oh, yeah, that's handy, right? You ever heard that expression? I've got that pretty handy. And that means that it's within hand's grasp, right? It's accessible. And so God wants the word of God to be accessible in our lives. Verse 9, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and upon thy gates. Gee, it sounds like to me the Lord says the word of God is pretty important to have it everywhere and at all times through the day. To have the word of God, it's important. And so verse 10 says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee, and this is why, into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then beware lest you forget the God of your salvation. That's what he's talking about. It is quite possible and probable that if we don't diligently seek the Lord in this manner, we will forget the Lord. And the way that we know that, not that we've stopped loving the Lord, but we're not following the Lord like he would have us. Listen, we can love the Lord and be unfaithful to the Lord. Isn't that the truth? I believe every child of God, if they're born again, they love the Lord. I mean, how can you not love the Lord? But should we say, well, you know, I know I'm saved by the grace of God, and here's one thing I know, I'm not perfect, so I can't walk a holy life. So what's the use? Well, my goodness, that doesn't show a whole lot of love for the Lord. It's just kind of a contradiction there. If God says, listen, I will take care of you, I will hold you, I will show you the way, and I will help you, and I will strengthen you, because God says, don't do it in your strength. Isn't that what he says throughout the script? Do it in mine. Amen. So God has not only saved us, he's given to us his salvation, and he's given to us his power. Amen. To fulfill his will and to do his will in our lives. So he says, be careful, verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Put your confidence in him. Ye shall not go after other gods. You shouldn't put your confidence in them, of the gods of the people which are round about you. My goodness, there's a lot of gods round about us today. Verse 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the... Did you see that? Off the face of the earth. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about a personal destruction, but he's also talking about a posterity destruction. That means our future generation. That means if we walk unfaithful, will the next generation see the example of the Lord? Will the next generation see the way of God in us? Or will they see the way of the world and the way of the natural man? Or will they see the way of the spiritual man? Amen? Those are the two. We're either in the flesh or we're in the spirit. And listen, if we truly care, and we seek the Lord as he's prescribing, as the way the Lord is, not according to our thinking. Well, I think that's not what God wants to hear. But if we will follow God according to his word in this fashion, God will see to it that the next generation knows the truth. Amen. And is moved by the truth. Amen. And will love the truth. Because we are being upfront with the Lord and we are not being slack. We're being diligent about pursuing our God. God says, I will bless you and I will also bless the generations to come in your family. So he says, verse 13, then thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go out after other gods of the gods of the people round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. He wants a one-on-one relationship. lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah, right? That you complained and, oh, listen, we don't have enough. No, listen, Lord, you are in control and you are worthy to be trusted even if the outcome doesn't go according to my thinking. Do you see the difference? Lord, I'm going to trust you that you are going to get me from here to your kingdom by your grace and your mercy. And if I love you, you have promised that that I can win the crown. Amen. That I can arrive to here. I think the greatest prize, and I could be completely wrong in this, but I would say this, one of the greatest prizes, if you will, when we get to heaven, is to hear from the lips of our Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How much will that be worth? Amen? That'll be worth a tremendous amount. That'll be worth everything, I think, as we face the Lord and hear that from Him. So, verse 17, ye shall, once again, he says, diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. So it's important that we're diligent about our pursuit of the Lord and his commandments. And by the way, if we look to ourselves, we're defeated already. Listen, here's one thing I know. I can never keep the commandments of God in my strength. And God doesn't want me to. So I need the Lord. Lord, I need, whose love do I need? Do I need my love or God's love? God's love. Whose mercy do I need? I've got mercy. It goes so far. But I've got mercy. Not a lot. But I've got mercy. Whose mercy do I need? Mine or God's? And by the way, I need his love and I need his mercy, because when I'm not treated right, I can respond with the love of God. That's what it's all about. It's about the love of God in us. That we might share that with our family, our loved ones, and with our church family, and with the whole world, that they might see Christ in us. If we give people a piece of our mind, that's all they're going to get. And our mind's not worth a whole lot. In fact, I'll tell you, in the grand scope of things concerning the Lord, what's a piece of our mind worth? Zero. Zip. Nada. Amen? Nothing. Nothing. But how about the love of God? How much is that worth? And the mercy of God and the gentleness of God. That is of great price, right? Because it's the Lord. That means we have possession. Not talking about salvation, but that means we are walking in unison with God. We are walking hand in hand with the Lord. So he says this, verse 18, and now thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies, not most of them, but all of them, to cast out all of thine. This is God's promise. If we believe God's promise, God will bring it to pass. Not up to us. God will bring it to pass. I am confident. You don't have to be, but I am confident that God is true to his word. Amen. Isn't that the truth? And if we are faithful to sow the right seeds, we will gain the right harvest. Will we not? And that's God's promise. So we can complain, we can get busy about doing what God has called us to do. We can focus in on our lives and what God wants us to do, or we could be busy and listen, be discouraged, be turned away from the truth by us looking at what we think other people ought to be doing. That you will never get anywhere that way concerning the Lord. You and I are responsible for our own lives. And listen, you're not responsible for anybody else. But if we'll be responsible for our lives and God is blessing our lives, the blessings of God in our lives will spill out over onto the other people that need to be encouraged with the blessings of God as well. Amen. That's how it works. If we will focus on our lives will be blessed, and so will the lives of other people as well. So keep this thought in mind as people are seeking to serve the Lord personally and being diligent about the things of God. Look at verse 18 again. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Notice this, and here's the blessing. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, In time, what does that mean? There's coming a time where the God of the parents become the God of the children. That's the way it works. They're gonna see not hypocrisy, they're gonna see the genuine article, they're gonna see the genuine love, they're gonna see the genuine compassion, and the children are gonna say, I like the God that you serve. I have watched what God has done in your life. I have seen your gentleness and your compassion and your concern for the lives of other people. I have seen you give things and sacrifice things and be a servant of the Lord. And I want to know about your God. But if they don't ask, maybe we didn't show them the Lord. Amen? So notice what happens here, verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. Did you see that? They saw such a faithful witness that they say, tell me about these commandments and your God and what that has done to your... I like what I'm seeing. Show me and tell me more about God. Isn't that great? Isn't that terrific? So it's incumbent and it's dependent upon our relationship with the Lord. See, we can be so busy saying all this and all that, and this ought to be this way and this ought to be that way, when all we need to focus on is in one little spot, and that's ourselves. One little spot will make the difference in our own lives by the glory and grace of God and be a blessing in the lives of many people, beginning in our own family and all the way throughout the outer reaches of our lives to the glory of God. Again, verse 20, it says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you? Then, now, thou shalt say unto thy son, when we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You know, that's a testimony of salvation, isn't it? When I was held in bondage, God set me free, and I enjoyed that freedom, and I did not want to leave that freedom, and God has led me and kept me all the days of my life. I have been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the seed of God begging bread. God has been faithful. Amen? But even when it appeared that we had nothing, next to nothing, God always was faithful to provide for how many of our needs? Isn't that amazing? For all of our needs. But if we don't walk with the Lord in that way, we'll never see it. God says, if you will trust me, if you will honor me, I will honor you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or right towards him. Look at verse 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us, listen to this, that who might? The Lord, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers, that the Lord would do a work in our lives we could not do for ourselves. And notice this, verse 24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Isn't that good? For our good always. Notice that he might preserve us. Who's the preserver? The Lord. Preserve us alive as it is at this day that God has kept us. Verse 25, last thought. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Amen. Right? That listen, to do all these commandments, that means don't have favorites. They're all important. Yes. Don't pick and choose. They're all important. And if we'll look to the Lord, he will enable us. But what does that require? What does that really require? It doesn't require any strength from us. Here's what it requires. Humility. Being humbled. Lord, I'm wrong in this. Lord, I have been slack in this area. Lord, I have neglected this area. This part of the fence is broken down because I've not tended to it. This part has, listen, and in fact, I might be the guilty party of removing the old landmarks, God's landmarks. I maybe excused myself and allowed these sins that God calls sin and God calls being wrong and not being right with him. Maybe I have allowed and moved them in my own heart, in my own mindset, I'll move them over here. See, this is revival. What does that mean? Revival is coming alive to the things of God, getting things right with the Lord, that he might open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we can't receive. But it requires humility, doesn't it? It requires us to say, Lord, I've been wrong in this. But Lord, tonight, I want to make things right with you. Tonight, I want to give you how much of my life? All of it. It's all yours, Lord. Every area of my life, I want you to have reign in. I want you to rule. And I want you to show me your will and your way for my life. So tonight, God has given to us his promise for success. Amen. And he says, follow me and I'll show you the way. Trust me in how many of our ways? All. Acknowledge him in all of our ways and all of his ways, that we might follow after him. And don't lean to our own understanding, but follow after him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to bless you. Because that's what God wants to see, our faith and our trust in him. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you again, Lord, for your instruction, for your mercy and grace, and Lord, your great faithfulness to desire to work with us, Lord. And we know we're imperfect, but Lord, we do serve a perfect God that loves us and wants to show us his way. So Lord, allow us to see that and to seek you in it. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.